You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
Mergers and acquisitions have decreased across Africa in the first half of this year in terms of both volume and value of transactions, with some exceptions, Nigeria one of them. Going forward, dark clouds remain over the M&A market in Africa in the short term, with economic uncertainty likely to cause a reduction in foreign investments into the continent. Wildu du Plessis is head of Africa for Baker & McKenzie in Johannesburg. Wildu, welcome. But at least the medium-term forecast looks a little brighter. First to the sharp decline overall. Is this all COVID-related, or are there other factors at play here?
Michael, hello, nice to speak to you. I think the short answer is, of course, it's not all COVID-related, but you do have to look at the different regions slightly differently. If we look at South Africa specifically, a massive drop, 60% drop in the M&A transactions, in the value of M&A transactions for the first half of 2020 compared to the first half of 2019. Now, South Africa, I think it's very clear, is not only COVID-related. The South African economy has been limping along, and there's a whole host of other issues that, you know, all the listeners in South Africa would be very well acquainted with that contributed to this lackluster showing. 60% would definitely have been helped on by COVID, as you see massive uncertainty in the first half of the year. But if you turn to a place like Nigeria, where we saw a different number, you know, all of a sudden of all the deals that we were involved in there, they actually saw an uptick in the first half, if you look at the deals that were done. But then again, I think that just underscores that, but it's not all COVID, because, you know, the Nigerian economy, as you probably know, would have had a whole host of other headwinds last year that they managed to slowly get rid of. So COVID definitely exacerbated it. And I think if you look at the next 6 months or the next 18 months, even, you know, COVID will have a lasting impact on it. But no, not all COVID related.
Absolutely. Specifically in South Africa, as you mentioned, there were all of the well-known issues around the political economy in South Africa and policy uncertainty, regulatory uncertainty, obviously issues around the labour market. None of those issues have gone away magically thanks to COVID. Are there any signs, though, that we're at least heading in the right direction, Wildu, on those specific scores around policy certainty and ensuring that we can bring labour along in whatever transactions are brought to the table?
I think the short answer is yes, but as with all things, yes, but, you know, there's a whole sort of other bit that one needs to think about. The reason why I say yes is in all of the bits that we've been doing and all of the people that we've been talking to at Baker McKenzie, what you can hear is there's a lot of positive feeling towards the Commission of Inquiries are starting to show up things. And, you know, there's a whole host of things that people can see will happen in relation to our whole sort of lost decade almost. Then you've got to counter that, of course, with I think everyone was chugging along, you know, quite nicely in the first half of our South African lockdown, and then all of a sudden, boom, you've got power issues again. All of a sudden, Eskom, when there should be sort of lower demand, back to load shedding, or they call it load rescheduling, or whatever. You won't get lost with all of these terms. But I think yes, there is glimmers of hope. But our best guess, I have to say, and that's not only South Africa specific, let me make that very, very clear. I think across sub-Saharan Africa, you know, for 2020, the rest of 2020 and 2021, there will be very difficult times ahead.
I was speaking to John Bellew of Bowman's the other day. He seems to reckon that private equity buyers with dry powder are really ideally positioned right now in the immediate aftermath. How do you see it? Where do you see the big pockets of deal activity? And I think back to what happened following the global financial crisis and what you tend to see following these massive economic reshuffles is lots of consolidation, companies with strong balance sheets tending to outperform, able to at least do transactions and pick up assets at really good multiples. How do you see it playing out?
That's spot on, Michael. I mean, from all of our discussions with clients, and that for me is the most interesting bit to be discussing with clients is this issue of what I would call distressed M&A. So as you find in a period of severe distress, as one would have, there are definitely opportunities that are starting to open up for players that are willing and that are ready to pounce. PE is a very good example of that, but it won't only be PE. You know, there is still funding available for corporates that are in a good financial position that can access funding, and these opportunities are starting to open up. Now, we see that across the board, but the interesting bit for me is if you start looking at your really challenged sectors, retail, transport, energy, oil and gas, you can start seeing these things starting to come up already. Mm-hmm. There's all sorts of talks about and messaging around assets that will be put up for sale. And if you can access the right sort of funding, or if you've stored up quite a bit of dry powder, you know, as you've mentioned it, this would be an ideal opportunity to start looking into that. I think the second bit just on that before we move on is I think there is an issue around African trade, because what was different in the economic crisis of the 2007-2008 is, of course, you had way more insular effects across Africa. What we have seen with the current situation is globally what the impact was, and as we can get our African trade a bit more going intra-African trade. And I think for that African Free Trade Agreement is absolutely crucial. These distressed M&A opportunities could become very, very valuable.
Important point that, as we know, the African Continental Free Trade Agreement was set to come into effect on the 1st of July. That was obviously delayed by COVID as well. And I guess COVID-19 is also what we have seen it do is upend many traditional business models. So I think certainly from the buyer's perspective, if you're approaching any transaction in an environment like this, will be to identify what are those COVID-19 related questions that could be relevant in the due diligence right now.
Yes, I think that is correct. And that is particularly the case for private equity investors, I would think. So you know, different to some of your normal trade buyers, if I'm a private equity investor, I would ordinarily do a relatively thorough due diligence. But in these circumstances, I would be even more interested and more thorough about not only the target that I'm looking to acquire or invest in, but also the jurisdiction and the environment in which that target operates. Because of what happened with COVID, we saw this thing literally just sort of almost like a massive wave crashing onto the whole global scene. And it's as important to see to what extent a specific jurisdiction or region is able to deal with challenges like that as my specific target is. I'm sure we'll see a lot of that.
Absolutely. And Vildu, from your own legal regulatory perspective, what sort of delays are you actually witnessing on the ground when it comes to securing the mountain of regulatory approvals that one needs to secure for a typical M&A deal?
Look, I mean, it does depend very largely in, you know, what you're trying to do where. I think what we can say is part of the M&A transactions that one has seen, certain aspects are working fine. But that would typically be where it is not a very intensive process of literally looking at something, kicking tires, checking whether something is there. Where we have seen quite a few delays, of course, is the moment that there is a cross-border element to any deal. And that can be expected. Most of the domestic deals that we are involved in are, you know, relatively large bits that would have the right attention at all of your regulatory authorities. But when it comes to the cross-border thing, that's where one can see delays. That being said, I must say, and you alluded to it earlier, Michael, that I think the way that business has changed since the lockdowns of years, sort of, you know, mid-Feb, if you start thinking of some of the European markets, have really showed us how a world can work, that you don't need to all be physically at the same place, physically at the same meeting. Mm-hmm. And what a marvelous change that has made. So one can only hope that business and government, for that matter, takes these lessons forward into the ensuing year.
Absolutely, and not let it die when the pandemic recedes into history and memory, which can't come soon enough, I think, for so many people who have some serious coronavirus fatigue. Vildu, is always a great pleasure getting a dipstick into the world of M&A with you here on Classic Business. Take care.